Next week we'll do some inyan related to Tisha B'Av, but today let's talk about Tefilas Kelim. Tefilas Kelim is in the Parsha by the War of Midian. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Yerodeah that a Jew who buys a kli suda, a Jew who buys anything that they use for the preparation of food that's metal or glass from a guy has to do Tefilas Kelim in a mikvah or a mayan, a natural body of water, and before the tefillah we make a bracha. Right, as is posted in our mikvah, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvot Tzivanu, Al Tefilas Kelim. That if you have one kli, the Shulchan Aruch says, so you make it in the singular, of the bracha goes on one kli. If you're immersing more than one kli, the Shulchan Aruch says, so you say Al Tefilas Kelim. The Meiri, in the end of Masechas Avodah Zarah, says that even on one kli, you should say Al Tefilas Kelim. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Minhag HaPashut is that even on one kli we say Al Tefilas Kelim, and that's what most people do. We say Al Tefilas Kelim even if you have one kli, and that's been the Minhag in Klal Yisrael for many generations. The Gra says that this is based on the Tosefta at the end of Brachos, and the Gemara in a few places, and that why that's the case. Okay, let's talk about the Minhag nowadays regarding making a bracha on certain kelim. If a Jew, the rules are as follows. If a Jew buys a kli from a guy, from a factory in... let's step back. If a Jew buys a kli made in a factory in Eretz Yisrael, Jewish owned, Jewish workers in the factory, so then it's a machlokas whether it needs tefillah on that kli. Because the halacha, as we learned from this week's parsha, is that you do tefillas kelim when it's taken from the possession of a guy. And if I'm buying it from a Jewish owned factory in Eretz Yisrael, mostly a Jew, owned by Jews, let's say there's like a German company that has a factory in Eretz Yisrael and they're making stainless steel, whatever, and there's Jewish ownership, there's a partnership there. So it's not clear whether it needs tefillah or not. And even if you're tova l'chumra, I'm going to put it in the mikvah l'chumra. It certainly wouldn't need a bracha because there's a question about who made this kli. But if I buy kelim in Chutz Laaretz, I go into Bed Bath & Beyond, still around? Okay, no? So I go into Bed Bath & Beyond or I buy it on Amazon. You know, most of the factories are owned by Goyim, or a factory in Eretz Yisrael that you know is owned by a guy, then obviously we're going to do tefillah with a bracha because we know it came from a non-Jewish ownership. But there are some people we're going to talk about who never have the minhag, who have the minhag to never make a bracha on tefillas kelim. We're going to discuss why a person might never ever make a bracha on tefillas kelim regarding these kelim. Now, if a Jew buys a kli, what's the halacha? If a Jew buys a kli that's owned by that's made by the partnership of a guy and a Jew, it doesn't need tefillah in order to get a bracha. That's one question. And if the din is that one doesn't make a bracha, then what if it's made in a factory that's owned by a guy, but there are Jewish shareholders in that company? So we're going to talk a little bit about ownership and shareholders when it comes to this sugya. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Yerodeah, in Simen Kuf Chaf, that if a Jew pays a guy to make a kli, you take $100, you go down to the hardware store, you say, please make me this kli, this pot, then according to the Mordechai, the kli doesn't need tefillah. Yes, I paid for it, but the guy with his own two hands, or machine, made that kli. The Ramah cites the Ritzpah, who says that it does need tefillah. You shouldn't do tefillah on it, because whose money paid for it? Jewish money paid for it. So the Rama says, Lamaisu should be tovel, but without a bracha. So there's a partnership going on over here. Jewish money, non-Jewish owner, non-Jewish maker. The Bir Gras says that even those who feel that it's a chiv min haTorah still agree that the chiv of bracha is still midarabanan, right? Of course, midaraisi you have to do tefillas kelim, but the bracha is midarabanan, so safek brachos lahakal. The Rama then talks about the following point. Let's say a Jew and a guy go into a partnership and they make a kli, or they buy a kli together. Okay? You and you have an associate, you have a partner at your business, and you both say, we're going to buy let's pick something less complicated. We're going to buy a stainless steel pot for the office. Why? I don't know. It's a very chashuv kitchen you have in your office. But you're going to buy a stainless steel pot for the office, and you and your non-Jewish partner go and buy that kli together. There's no chiyuv tefillah because it's partially owned by a Jew, so you don't have to put it in the mikvah. Let's say now, you and your partner, your business split up, your separate practices, like Salino and Barnes, right? So you're no longer together, no more 888s, so now you want to separate. So you want to take your kli, and you decide that you're going to take it, but you're not going to you're not going to be dishonest, so you're going to pay your guyish partner, you're going to pay the guy for the pot. I know when we bought this pot 10 years ago, we paid $100 for it, so I'm going to pay $50 for the rest of the pot, and I'm going to take it with me. So the halach is, you have to put it in the mikveh right now, because you brought it from a guy. You took it from the guyish ownership, and now it's yours. You have to go put it in the mikveh. So the shach and the pre-chadosh both say that you also need to do with a bracha. That in that case, where the partner split up and he took the kli with him, he has to do with a bracha as well. The gra says that the shutfus with the guy gives the guy complete bialis. When you both own the stainless steel pot in your partnership, it's not like he owns 50, you own 50. You own 100%, he owns 100%. You both have full usage of the pot. It's not like you own the pots, you know, Mondays through Wednesdays, and he owns it Thursdays through Sunday. That's not how it works. You both fully own the pot. And therefore, when you buy it for him, you're taking away his complete bialis. And the Chassam Sofer says that each partner, Chassam Sofer writes on the bottom, is Hagos in the Shulchan Aruch, that each partner has the full rights to the kli. And once you pay off the rights from the guy, it's Chayav Tefillah. Now, comes the Taz in the two places, and the Taz writes that the continuation of the Ramah seems to say that the purchased kli needs tefillah without a bracha. He says there's no bracha. This is the Shita of the Sholom Meshiv, the Pritoar, the Arachayim HaKadosh, and they support this based on the Tosfos and Bonazara, who says that if a guy gives a kli to a guy to repair, right, I have this stainless steel pot, the handle's broken, and I give it to the guy to repair it. Even the opinion that holds, Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, that the worker who invests his time and improves the kli, makes a kinyan on it, doesn't say that now needs tefillah. Nobody says that. Nobody says that if I have a broken pot and I bring it over to Ace Hardware, now they're going to repair it. And now he's going to fix the handle. Now, that doesn't mean it's now his kli. It doesn't mean he owns it. The reason is that it's not similar to the events of Midyan. And this comes back to our parsha. In the events of Midyan, when the Jewish people took those kalim from the Midianites, so they themselves belong to Midyan. That's the whole sugya. The whole sugya says the Achronim and says the Pritoar and says the Sholom Eshiv, is the whole thing needs to be just like Midyan. Just like in Midyan, it belonged to Guy Aleph, and now it belongs to me. That's what it has to be like. There's no such concept that if the guy gives an improvement into the kli, therefore there's some sort of ownership. And therefore, since there was the whole sugya of Tefillas Kalim is, it's a movement of control. It's under the control of the guy, now it's under my control. When I drop off the pot at the store to be fixed, it's still under my control. Just because he's tinkering with it doesn't mean it's not under my control anymore. And it has to be just like the events of Midyan in order to be chayv in a bracha. Okay, let's talk a little bit about stocks and ownership, shall we? It's a big sugya that touches other areas in the halacha, but particularly here in Tefillas Kalim. The status of corporations, investments, shareholders, things like that. Is this a shutfus? Is this a partnership or is it not a partnership? The discussion impacts Hilchos Ribbis, we know. It impacts Chametz B'Pesach, we know. It impacts Chil Shabbos and running business on Shabbos. It's a sugya that touches everywhere. We just want to discuss Tefillas Kalim tonight. Regarding Tefillas Kalim, we need to understand that whether according to the view that a kli that had a shutfus between a Jew and a guy, and it doesn't need a bracha, if you go like that opinion, right? You had the partnership, you had a practice together, you had a law firm together, and you had that pot. And then you moved on to start your own partnership or your own law office. And now I took that kli away from my partner. According to the opinion that says that there's no bracha, when I buy that, what would the halacha be regarding the factory that's owned by a guyish company, some big fancy, you know, German company that makes knives, or some Japanese company that makes knives, but there are Jewish interests in the companies, stocks, shareholders, things like that. Is this a shutfus with a guy that would preclude it from needing Tefillas Kalim or not? Comes the Shevet Halevi, comes Rav Vosner in Chelek Hei. And Rav Vosner says that people who own stocks are not partners in companies. You might feel very proud of yourself. You might feel that you're, you know, a very chashuv person. You own stock in Amazon, Apple, Google, whatever it is. You don't own the company. You have a stock in the company. The owners of the companies have control, and they make the decisions, not the people who are shareholders. Rav Yashim in the Kovetz Halachos writes that only a person has the right to vote in the company. Only if you have a shareholder's rights where you can vote, you sit on a board, you can impact the company in some sort of decision, only in that case would we have such an issue, would they be considered a partner. And therefore, said, what? Correct. If you own a chush amount of shares, then we have something to talk about. Correct. If, meaning a vote that would, your vote on its own is not going to turn the tide. It has to be enough that you have a say in the company in some way. That's going to push the company forward one way or the other. So that's what Nissan-Krell says. Nissan-Krell says, unless you are buying serious shares in, I don't know any companies that make pots. I don't know. Unless you're buying serious shares in the crockpot company, in Le Creuset, that fancy French pot that people pay a lot of money for the wedding. So unless you're buying serious amounts of shares and you are having impact on the company and you're doing serious business there, then it doesn't matter. You don't have any control rights to that company. It's not a shutfus. And the Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss writes in Chela Gimel, the same principle applies to loans, ribbis, companies as well. A Jew who buys shares in the company is not a partner. You have no ownership in the company. You have no say in what the company does. And none of your interactions would impact the company regarding ribbis. It wouldn't make a difference. And that's the halacha according to the poskim. However, Rav Menashe Klein, the Rav Ungvar, writes in the Mishnah Halachas in Chela Gvav, and Rav Sternbach writes in Moedim Uzman in Chela Gimel, that shareholders are complete partners regarding the halachas of shutfas. That's not a mainstream opinion, but you should be aware there's such a shita out there. That causes all types of trouble for chametz for Pesach and Chil Shabbos and things like that. That's not a mainstream opinion. So let's talk about the halacha lemaisi here by Tfilas Kalim. What do the poskim say regarding? Yeah. Yeah. So you'd have to know, meaning what's the understanding? Is the understanding that I brought a pot that I bring in for everybody to use? Let's just ignore all the kashrus. Let's just ignore all the kashrus just for a second. Let's pretend kashrus is not a factor here. I brought a pot in for people to make whatever they want in the law firm to share. So does it mean that it's my pot and I'm being a nice guy? Well, if that's the case, then he owns it. But if we're going into the company's funds and we're writing a check from, you know, Stein, Stein, and Stein, you know, in order to buy this pot, so then, Stein, Stein, and Stein, some are Jewish. So then it would be a Jewish-owned pot. But if it's, O'Reilly and Stein, so then O'Reilly and Stein are, you know, splitting the funds there. That's what we'd be talking about. So there's a machlokas aposkim whether one should be concerned that Kalim bought from a company with the shutfus between a Jew and a guy are subject to the opinion that there's no brach on that clay. That's the question here. I go and I buy a pot from a company. And that company has Jewish interests in it. Shareholders maybe, what the levels we'll discuss. Maybe, how am I supposed to know? Jews own all types of stocks. Jews are investing in all types of businesses. Every single time I go buy a clay, how am I going to know what the control is in that company of Jews or not Jews? Maybe, according to these shitas, you should never make a bracha on a kli that's bought from a company. Because you're never going to know that maybe it might be a bracha levatala. Who says to do tefillah without a bracha? Every single time you buy a kelim, you do tefillah without a bracha. The Chazon Ish in Hilchos Demai and the Chut Shani say that, and the Chut Shani quotes the Chazon Ish, say that a kli made in Chutz La'aretz, where most of the people are Goyim. The factories in Chutz La'aretz, the companies in Chutz La'aretz, the people working there are Goyim. So it's chayv and tefillah with a bracha without question. Without question. We're not concerned that the factory may have been under Jewish ownership, things like that. But if a kli came from a place where there's a suffik hashakal, there's a serious chance, there's a serious doubt, where the factory is Jewish owned, then a kli should be immersed without a bracha. That's what he says. So, mistama, most pots and pans, most kelim, are made outside of Eretz Yisrael. Unless it says, you know, it says on the back of the pot, this pot is made in Kiryas Yoel, so then you can be rest assured your pot was probably non-Jewish owned. This is the shita of Rav Yashiv as well, in the Tfilas Kalim Kilchasa, that there was a partnership between a Jew and a guy, then the kli gets tefillah without a bracha, and if the kli was made in a country with a lot of Jews, then it should get tefillah without a bracha as well. But if it was made in a country where there's not common for Jews to live, then it should get tefillah without a bracha. Again, there's no place else besides Eretz Yisrael. Again, unless it's a highly specific area, again, you wouldn't make a bracha in those cases. It's the Shita of Nissen Karelitz in the Chodshani, who says that since there's a machlokas haposkin about the status of shutfus, if there's shutfus between a Jew and a guy, if the kli's immersed without a bracha, if there's a concern that the shareholders have voting rights in the company, but if the shareholders have no rights in the company, no power, so then it's not a shutfus at all. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would also instruct his students to be tovel without a bracha, because of the chashash of shutfus with the Yisrael. So this is sheet number one. Sheet number one says, amongst many poskim, Rosh Shlomo Zalman and the Chazon Ish and Rishon Karelitz and Rav Yashuv say that if you have a pot and you do a little Googling and you say, this pot is owned by the Rothschild family. They have investments in this company. They're not the owner. It's investment between these two companies, two groups. But there's serious Jewish ownership in this company. Tefillah without a bracha. Out of the suffix, something of brachas lahakam. Do you have to do that research? I don't think so. Unless there's something that stands out about it, then I don't think you need to do it. We'll talk about a more lemaisa case in a second. Again, it's a rare case that you're going to have something like this. But nevertheless, Rosh Sternbach writes in Shuvas Hanagos Chelik Beis and Chelik Gimel that no, even if it's there's Jewish shareholders in the company, you still do tefillah with a bracha. He writes, but Tzarech Bir Geder Ba'am L'Tfilas Kelim. He says it's not even clear the status of a company, of a corporation regarding Tfilas Kelim. Shlo Dami L'Kli Midjan. It's not like Kli Midjan. She'alahem Ba'ilim Prati. Miu L'Maisa Kelim D'Shem Akum Allah. If it's a Gaiish company, it's known as a Gaiish company, Shadua Sherov Haminios Biyad Akum, that most of the shares are in the hands of non-Jews, Nahu Lahatvil Bebrachas of Rishtarnbach. That's the Minag. You don't have to go crazy investing and looking to see what different companies are doing. You do with a bracha. There was an article by Rav Yitzhak Rubin, the author of the Orach HaShabbos, in Tfilas Kelim Kilchasa. So Rubin gives three reasons why, without a doubt, even if there's Jewish shareholders in the company, you do Tfilas Kelim with a bracha. He says, first of all, we follow the majority. And there's no reason to be concerned that a miyuchenu matsui, that there's some type of group somewhere that the company's under Jewish ownership. There are more non-Jews in the world than Jews. Sometimes the news does not look that way, but practically there are more non-Jews than Jews in the world. I don't have to be concerned that maybe in some weird case there's more Jews in that company. Number two, even if there is a shutfus, you find out that there is shareholders in that company with a guy. Generally, it's a very tiny percentage. It's not enough. That's suffix number two. And suffix number three is even if there was, you find that there was a small percentage of Jews who were shareholders and they have voting and control rights in the company, Mikra din the halachas that any kli made with a shutfus between a guy and a Jew is chayv to with a bracha anyway. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said. So he knocks off all three. Mimanav shach. Either mistama, most likely it's not Jewish owned. And even if there are not Jewish shareholders, and if there was Jewish shareholders, they wouldn't have enough of an impact on the company. And even if they did, the halacha would still be you do tefillas kelim with a bracha according to the Mechaber. So all of those fakos together say you do with a bracha, which I think makes a lot of sense. Let's just talk about two practical cases and a chumrah. Ravad Yosef is quoting the Alka Yosef on Kashrus, B'mitbach HaModerni, that nowadays when someone buys kelim from a non-Jewish company, or even from a Jewish company, if the actual seller in the store was a guy, that you immerse the kli and make a bracha to us kelim. Because at the end of the day, I didn't buy it from that German company. I bought it from Bed Bath & Beyond. And they're pretty gaish. And therefore, there's no reason to think that I'm buying it from a Jew. And if there's a kli with a suffix, whether it's chayv and tefillah, so then what you should do is bring something along that's definitely chayv to us kelim, and you'll make the bracha on that, and everything else will be slept along. Now, what about a disposable kli? Okay? What about disposable kelim? I assume that we've all been to our local Jewish grocery stores, and we have seen that there are aluminum pans that have a stamp on them, a heksher on them. You've seen it before, correct? I think the most popular ones, at least the ones they sell in the five towns, are Rabbi Binyamin Gruber, who's a Rav in Muncie. Rabbi Gruber's aluminum pans. So what's the shtick over there? What's going on over there? So are we saying that it's not like rubbed with lard? No. We're not saying they're kosher. What Rabbi Gruber is saying is as follows. And the Chazon Ovadia, Rav Yosef, and the Alka Yosef, Yabi Omer, they all say, according to those shitas, that a chad pa'ami, disposable kli, that's aluminum gets tefillah without a bracha, because it's a kli gomer. It's a good kli for Netilas Adayim. It's a good kli for Kiddush. It's a good kli for Havdalah. It's a kli. We discussed this a few years ago, whether aluminum things need or not. But let's go with the shita that they do. If there's a big tzorech, he says, you can be lenient because they're made from aluminum or a very thin stainless steel, and they're thrown after being used. According to this, says Rav Adya, and this is what Rabbi Gruber is doing, if you take, you're combining two kulas together, you have a chad pami disposable pan, which is a machlokas, but also, what do? They go out to the company in China, they make some sort of deal, which is not always the best deal, but it's some sort of deal. They write a very weak shtar, and they say that for these runs, the Jew and the guy have a partnership in the company, and therefore it's a shutfus, and therefore it's not chayv to those kalim. So if you combine all these together, where the kashrus organizations go and give a hechsher on aluminum pans, so then it gets you out of all the issues. Meaning you have these two sfeikos, maybe the aluminum pans don't eat, and even if they do, there's a shutfus with the guy in that run. When you purchase food products that come in disposable containers, there's discussions. Well, the old Snapple bottles, we'll leave that for not for right now. Let's just end with a good chumrah. Ready for a good chumrah? Anyone want to take on a good chumrah? You ready? Okay. The Sefer HaKashrus, Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Fuchs, is a very popular Sefer in Hilchos Kashrus that's published in Eretz Yisrael. It's a black cover with like a gold trim. It's called HaKashrus. So Rav Fuchs quotes from Rav Yashrov, who said that what a person should do is, you should go out to the store, and you go out to Amazing Savings, and buy a whole bag full of really cheap metal kalim, like 25 forks, 25 garbage, you know, metal forks, or a bunch of small metal cups, like a bunch of them, fill them up in a bag, that are vadai chayv in tefilas kalim. You know for sure made by a guy, come from a guy's company, you bought it from a guy in the store, the whole thing's guy, maybe don't go to Amazing Savings, don't buy a Jew. You'll go to a different store, and you'll buy real trash, really trash, cheap metal spoons and forks and things like that. And what do? Each time you have to go to the mikveh for that suffek kli, does it get a bracha, it's not going to bracha, you go into your bag of your cheap metal guyish kalim, you pull out a fork, you go to the mikveh, you make a bracha on the fork, and it covers everything else. That's Rav Yashov's advice. Have on hand a bunch of small cheap kalim that definitely to us kalim, and every single time you go, you have it there to make a bracha on, and that covers everything else. Okay, good.
You don't have to use it. I mean, you make the kabbalas to the bracha
on that fork.
On that one, I mean, you plan not to use it. It's not a bracha shem.
If I don't want to eat it, if I don't want to use it, that's up to me. Uh-huh. But it is, I own it, and it's chayvin tefilas kalim, even if I ever use it. Yeah. Lechad chila, that's what Yashub said.